You can watch this video without ads by going to my Patreon page. Patreon is great for creators like me because YouTube cuts ad revenue from small creators by claiming we are spreading misinformation when we debunk false claims. I'm not kidding, it's happened multiple times to me and lots of other people as well. It only costs $5 a month and I upload around 25 or more videos a month, so you're getting access to tons of great content. Link is in the description. Let's get to the video.
So do you want to take on the professor, or would you rather say, Riz, you're too much for me and you don't want to handle, you want to take a easier subject on?
I have absolutely no problem talking about evolution.
Okay, so first of all, let's define parameters for evolution.
Okay. For one, the Big Bang is not evolution, so don't bring that up.
Do you understand what observational science is?
Vaguely, yeah. It's mostly just a stupid, cheap trick that people use to say that anything that happened in the past doesn't count as science, which completely defeats any possible viewpoint that you have about science, because it's not possible to make observations of things that did not occur in the past. So I find that to be a really idiotic talking point argument.
Okay, so meaning I've won point one. So I've disproven evolution with the first point that I was going to make. Yep.
No, you haven't. You haven't said anything. So this thing with observational science, you're going to say that that real science is what can be observed, repeated, and tested in the present, and anything else is observational or historical science is anything that like occurred in the past, right? Something like that.
Okay. All right. Let me give you an example.
No. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Literally, every single thing that is happening right now, you are making every single thought that you're having, every single interaction with everything in the universe, your experience of that is of something that occurred in the past. You have completely destroyed the credibility of any type of science by making this argument.
No,
every single experience and observation is of something that occurred in the past. Every single thing is historical science, according to this argument.
So no, according to this argument, it simply categorizes things that happened in the past. As opposed to being observational sciences, they are historical sciences, meaning
every single observation you make is of something that occurred in the past. You cannot observe something in the present state. The photons have to travel to your eye and your brain has to have thoughts. Those take at least milliseconds, which is by definition the past.
Okay, where did bacteria come from, planet
Peter? No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about this argument is not going to prove whether or not evolution is true, but if you're going to come up here and make these arguments, you need to not make this argument because it's dumb and self-defeating.
Okay, I would disagree, but I can understand that. If you don't want to take that challenge on,
and why do you disagree?
That's fine.
Why do you disagree? We're not talking about bacteria or anything else until we figure this out.
I disagree because what you're trying to say is by me categorizing science into observational science and historical science, you're trying to say that I'm negating all of the past sciences. That's not true.
No, you're negating all of the present science. I am saying that, but that would be my critique of why it's dumb. But my critique of why it's fatalistic for your position is that every observation is in the past. Every single thing you would do in this worldview is historical science.
Okay, so let me give you an example, and then you can, because I'll prove that the statement that you've just made is false.
Good luck.
If I get a petri dish, put nutrient-rich material in there, and place a sample of bacteria and allow it to grow, I'm observing that through a microscope. That
in the past, your observations are of events that occurred in the past.
No, you can
view. No, you cannot observe the present. It is literally impossible. You just, for some reason, you say that, well, milliseconds doesn't count as the past, but years does count as the past, which is just dumb.
Okay, so Peterson, what is a live image?
Do you understand that in order, anything that occurs in the present, that information has to travel via photons to your eyes, hit your retina, and then
cone or rod.
Impulse. Yeah. What the hell do you call that? An action potential has to propagate through the nerves to the brain. Your brain has to integrate and interpret that sensory information, and then whatever, some thoughts occur in our brain.
Okay,
literally, none of that can occur in real time along with what is happening. Every single observation you make is in the past, is of past events.
All right,
everything. So let me say this a little more clearly.
When
every single thing that is playing out in your mind's eye is of events that are not happening right now. They have all occurred. Depends on how far away the thing you're looking at is, but at least milliseconds in the past.
Okay.
So everything is historical science.
Okay, so basically what you're saying, you're changing the definitions for things. That's
no, I'm not.
What would be something that's happening in the present that we can observe then, Peterson?
According to you, nothing. That's the problem.
Not according to me, according to your definition of it. That's
no, this is your definition.
No,
every single observation you make is of past events because you do not experience the present in real time.
Okay.
I am not made aware of the pen hitting the desk the moment it happens. I'm aware of it milliseconds later. It's all the past. And this isn't just a cheap rhetorical trick. This is literally fatalistic to your argument because in an attempt to delegitimize the study of what happened long ago, you call it this thing without realizing that everything else is that thing.
Well, I could actually quite easily fix what you're classing as a big L for my point, which I don't think it is. It's simply say historical science is something that's happened outside of a human's lifetime, and observational science is something that is witnessable within a human's lifetime. That then destroys your whole model that you're trying to portray to me right now. So meaning, to look at a galaxy...
That's a different way to put it, and it's incredibly weak, but we could work with that.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So that's the point that I was trying to drive home, which is that by observing bacteria growing in a Petri dish, that is something that you could observe within your lifetime, within a few hours, which you might class as being in the past, but it's still within your lifetime and observable by you. And then when I ask you, where did bacteria come from?
Yeah, it can be observed. Yeah.
Yeah, that could not be observed. Yeah. And you don't know where bacteria came from. So therefore, I win.
Yeah, but we have models that make accurate predictions that predict where they came from. So the other thing you could say is that, well, in science, we try to make predictions about what will happen in the future. Now, that you could call observational science in sort of a way, because you're not, eventually you will be relying on an observation in the present, but you're predicting something that is not happening in the present and has not even happened yet. And that's a key mechanism behind how science works and how scientific knowledge is said to increase because of the ability to make accurate predictions in the future. So we have done that with evolutionary biology. For example, if all life on this planet really does come from a single common ancestor, that would make all life related. And it is.
Okay. All right. Well, I can see that this is like a mute point, or maybe a point where we're going to have to agree to disagree, and I don't want to spend extended time on it.
That all life is related?
No, because the point that the observation on the historical science was the main point, and if you can't agree to that one, then there's no point like kind of debating this one. We'll move on to another one, which would quite easily be able to, you know, would define who's actually correct and who's actually wrong in this position. Are you happy to move on, or do you want to stay on the historical observational science point?
We can talk about the historical and observational science if you want. I don't care. Because
if you're going to say
that we can't study the past, then this completely blows up the ability to do forensic analysis, for example, to bring anything into a court of law and draw any kind of conclusions from it. Unless we're just arbitrarily going to say, well, no, historical science is the kind of thing, the study of things that occurred when humans didn't exist. But you don't even believe in the first place that there was ever a time before humans. I mean, not really.
I believe there was a time before humans, for sure.
Okay, so like you think dinosaurs and humans did not live together?
I don't even believe dinosaurs have existed, but yeah, okay.
Okay,
so
in the sense that there was a time before humans, describe what that time was like. How much time is that?
Well, it's a lot longer than the human lifespan and a lot longer each of... There's a species on Earth prior to humans who had extended lives of 1 to 5,000 years each. So then if you extend that to their whole family tree, then you can see how long we'd be getting just in one single species that existed. Meaning prior to humans, where human beings, say a father, son, and the son's son would be like, 200, 300 years max. The same in this other species prior to humans would have been 300,000 years. So that gives you an idea just for one generation, as it were, from a family. So maybe the Earth could be, millions of years old prior to humans, but human beings were not evolved. They were placed upon this Earth.
Okay, kind of agree that there's such a thing as a very deep history of time before humans. But you say that humans were placed here. Do you have any evidence of that?
Yeah, we can come on to that point when you go on to religion. But I still want to debate evolution because I know that you're a guy who likes...
My contention is that humans evolved. So I think now would be the perfect time to talk about it.
Okay, then. So do you know what the micro versus macro evolution fallacy is?
The fallacy?
Yeah.
The fallacy is that there's no such thing as macroevolution.
Oh, Peterson, because I respect your knowledge and that you're a teacher, I'll gladly inform you of the information before you make false statements
I don't need you to, because you're not the first idiot to try this argument before. when did Proto-Germanic turn into English? It never happened in an instant. Instead, the language changes microscopically generation by generation until all of us, not all of a sudden, and then after an extraordinarily long period of time, the language becomes something completely different. And genetic changes in species work that way. It's never the case that something macro mutates into something else, but the small changes after extremely long periods of time mean that two organisms separated across many thousands or tens of thousands of generations are completely different species, even though at no point was there, there was never a point where one thing gave birth to something that was of another species.
Okay, so Peterson, for life to advance, it needs to have new genetic information. Would you agree with that, to evolve?
No, not necessarily.
Okay. So if we take, say, the first bacteria.
In fact, literally no, not at all.
All right. Let's give you some information and then you can counteract that. If we go back to all those, whether you believe it's 65 million years ago or hundreds of millions of years ago, to the first bacteria, the first simple organism that was on this earth that you believe was the beginning of it all, that would have had about 500,000 genetic letters to make up its simple functions for living, yeah?
Absolutely not.
Yep, absolutely correct.
Absolutely not.
This is factual information I'm giving you, Peterson.
The most charitable thing I can possibly think of that you're doing is you're trying to tell me about an experiment where they figured out that, well, with current bacteria, we can only reduce their genome to, it's either like 50 or 200 genes, I can't remember. With current living bacteria, The simplest we can make them through gene editing is 50 to 200 genes. Therefore, the first organism must have had that many genes. Completely false.
So I'm not trying to put you into a gotcha moment, Peterson. I'm simply trying to have a conversation with you. I'm trying to show you comparisons to prove my point. So what I was trying to say was a bacteria that you believe was the first organism would have had around 500,000 genetic letters.
False.
But a single human cell has 3.2 billion genetic letters just for one cell. And the human being is made of trillions of billions of cells. Yeah. So the point I'm making is...
Do genes get duplicated?
Yes, in horizontal
genes. Can duplicated genes mutate?
No. So this is the point I'm trying to make, Peter.
I'm not going to let you make your point. You're going to answer two questions. Can genes get duplicated?
Yes.
Can duplicated genes mutate?
Yes.
There you go. New genetic information. So what do you want to talk about next?
Oh, Peterson, don't be so naive. Degenerative mutations are not new genetic
information. No, they're not degenerative. We know for a fact that not all mutations are harmful. So, again, idiotic talking point. You should really buy my book, because you wouldn't have said that if you'd have read my book.
No. I don't need to read your book to know that you're talking nonsense at the moment, Peterson. Horizontal gene transfer is something only bacteria do, and it's basically just copying the same information.
Duplicating genes is not what horizontal gene transfer is. So,
yes, it is in bacteria.
Well, it can be. I suppose we could say that not all squares are rectangles, right? So in humans, genes get duplicated. That happens. But we don't have horizontal gene transfer. So those are not the same thing. One can be an example of the other, but they're not the same thing.
This is a moot point. Do you agree that you need new genetic information in order to evolve?
I already said no.
No?
Not necessarily. You can have changes in gene expression. And to evolve just means to be different than the generation before you.
No.
So you can have literally no new genes in the population, and that always happens. Hardy-Weinberg equilibrium has never been observed.
Okay, so adaptation. So what I'm hearing from
adaptation
you right
is
now,
not a thing that happens.
No. I'm hearing a lot of adaptation from you as opposed
to evolution. No, I never said it once.
No, but by you saying that... copying of cells and mutations.
Yep, that's not adaptation. Congratulations.
That's adaptation.
No, it's not adaptation.
From you, Peterson.
It's not adaptation. Adaptation is not a thing that happens, okay? It's not.
It is. It is a thing.
No, it isn't.
It is.
No, it isn't.
Okay, so...
Give me one example.
Okay, a feather's color, length, size, that's all within the functions of one... genome of genetic information that's already contained.
Waiting for you to give me an example of adaptation.
I've given you the information there, right there.
No, you haven't. You said feathers exist and that there are genes corresponding to feathers.
Okay, so basically, for instance, hair. Let me break that down even further. Hair, for example.
Great.
Hair. Length, size, color. Is all the information that's already contained, and it's through a series of genetic mutations that you can get the adaptation. But to have
the genes have to change in order for the characteristic to change. There you go. Adaptation is not a thing that happens. Changes in the genes are what give organisms the characteristics they have. So adaptation cannot occur without evolution occurring in the first place.
Evolution requires a new genetic information to be...
Do genes get duplicated? Yes. Can duplicated genes mutate? Yes. There we go. But that's not even the only way. The symphony of genes working together, because almost all traits are polygenic, that can change. And then brand new functions can occur in the organism at the cellular level. And from that, you can get new characteristic traits. For example, we know that you can modify scale, the epidermal tissue that creates scales, and get it to create rudimentary feathers. It's just a variation on, because what Darwin actually called it, descent with modification. So it's a variation of a form. We've seen experimental, we have seen bacteria gain functions that they did not previously have through random changes in their genes. So there you go. Brand new functions.
You're talking about beneficial mutations, Peterson, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
But even harmful mutations would be new genetic information.
Okay. So you have beneficial mutations, which by statistics already show that they are outweighed by harmful
irrelevant because of natural selection.
No, the fact that harmful degenerative mutations occur show that
is irrelevant.
Can never be possible.
No, it's okay. Irrelevant because there's natural selection.
For natural selection to occur, you need new genetic information, and that never happens.
No, it literally does happen. You admitted that it happens, but that also has nothing to do with what we're talking about. So mutations occur. Are all of the mutations harmful? Nope. Some of them are beneficial. What happens to the organisms that have more beneficial mutations? They survive better. They reproduce more often. So those harmful mutations become less common in the population. You have pretended that if harmful mutations exist, that means that harmful mutations are the only kinds of mutations that can occur, or somehow those are the only kinds of mutations that accumulate in a population. Natural selection and lab experiments prove that that's not the case.
There's also slightly harmful mutations which are not affected by natural selection.
Not a problem.
Okay, so do you know who Alexei Kondrashev was?
No.
He was the beginner of evolution, one of the pioneers who's recognized for all his genetic work. And he quite categorically states that we are devolving and genetic entropy is destroying evolution. Yeah?
Genetic entropy is not a thing. If you would have read my book, you would know that.
So you're trying to say you know more than Alexei Kondrashev, the pioneers.
No, I get my information from geneticists, professional scientists who know that these idiots are full of shit. I don't know who this person you're talking about is, but John Stanford is who started the whole genetic entropy thing. And it is a brain dead, idiotic argument that completely ignores the fact that natural selection occurs and says a bunch of things that are false, like most mutations are harmful. That's not true, but even if it was true, it wouldn't be a problem because of natural selection.
Can you go on
selection.
Google and type in Alexei Kondrashev? I'll tell you
how I don't to need it. To. I have read about genetic entropy. I have read much more about it than you have. In fact, I read so much about it that one of the chapters in my book is about it.
Peterson, I've got to say that I really didn't expect it to go this way. I thought we could have debated.
You thought that I had not done my research, but I have.
No, you haven't done your research.
I literally have. I know who John Stanford is. I know that he was the pioneer in this genetic entropy thing. I don't know who this other person you're talking about is. Maybe they had the idea before Stanford. Is it Sanford? I can't remember. But he's the most famous proponent of it, at least in the United States. I've listened to him give talks. I have read all of his testimonies on his website. And then I also listened to several other professional geneticists. I had a professional geneticist consult on my textbook to make sure that my information was accurate. And there were some things I got wrong and I had those fixed, which is what you should do. So I know what I'm talking about.
But you don't know, because if you knew who Alexei Kondrashev was, he works in the USA. He's from the Soviet Union. He's currently working in genetics, and he is one of the pioneers. And the information I'm giving you supersedes the information you're trying to provide me.
It doesn't matter because it's the same theory.
Yes, but this...
It's false. We know that it's false. It can be experimentally proven to be false. If genetic entropy really happened, then the only way to make sure genetic entropy doesn't happen is to inbreed. But we know that inbreeding is the most catastrophic thing you can do for the genetic health of a population, apart from eating radioactive waste.
Okay, Peterson, I will have to put the handle down and say that, you know, we can't progress this debate because, unfortunately...
You don't know what you're talking about. That's why.
No, I do know what I'm talking about. I'm a professor of evolutionary science, and I know about this stuff.
Like, fuck you are.
Yeah, the fact that you don't know who Alexei Kondrashov is shows me that you do not know what you're talking about, and that's the reason why I need to give up at this point in time. Because had you known who he was, I would have then afforded you the respect. But you're talking about newer
science. I know what genetic entropy is. I don't need to know who Alexander Jerkmeoff is in order to know anything about... genetic entropy, and you are not a professor of evolutionary biology. You are a lying PhDs. Liar who lies.
No, I've got 167 PhDs, and I'm endowed with knowledge. And the highest form of ignorance is when a person doesn't know the subject he's talking about, and that's what I'm observing today, Peterson.
Well, I have 420 PhDs, all of them in evolutionary biology.
Okay, fantastic. But I do thank you for your time, and I'm more than happy to come up again another time when you have no guests as usual.
Yeah, I'd run away too if I were you.
No, I'm not running. I'm happy.
Yeah, you are.
But what's the point of debating? You know, as you normally debate flat earthers, you give nutters to us or vice versa. That's what you're doing with when I'm providing you my factual information. You're giving me a nut.
Buddy, I wrote a motherfucking book about this. If you want to talk about how genetic entropy is false, I am happy to talk about it.
Yes, but I can't be taking nutters from you all the time, saying, no, I don't agree
with that.
There you go.
So you didn't know that I know what I know, and now you need to run away.
No.
Because you're not going to talk about genetic entropy with me, because you can't.
I can't.
You thought, if I just say genetic entropy, he'll be like, genetic entropy, what's that? And then you'll say, oh, yeah, that completely proves that evolution is wrong. And when you say something that somebody's never heard of before, it throws them off track and like, well, okay, I don't know really how to respond to that. And then you go, ha, I got you. This is what pieces of shit like Whitsitt, dipshit, the flat earther does. He gish gallops all this dumbass garbled mumbo jumbo. And then when people are like, what are you talking about? He just giggles because it makes his little giny tingle to do that kind of thing. And he goes, okay, well, I guess we can move on. But no, you're talking to somebody that does know about these things you're talking about. And you're terrified. And now you need to run away.
No. Okay. So we'll talk about genetic entropy.
Great.
So the contamination of the genome by deleterious mutations. Why have we not died 100 times over? Because we're going
because of natural selection. I already answered this.
Yeah, but natural selection requires macroevolution to occur.
No, it does not.
Yeah, no matter how many microevolutionary steps that you believe happen over millions of years, you'll never get to macroevolution through those micro steps because it's degenerative. And that's the point.
It literally is not degenerative.
Okay, so show me examples where you have a new genetic information and not degenerative evolution or adaptations occurring. Give me an example of where a new genetic information has been provided, not horizontal gene transfer or copying of information from previous cells. I want new genetic
copying of information would be how you get new genetic information. You admitted this earlier. A gene can be duplicated and then it can be mutated. That is new information.
Copying of information happen? I said yes. Copying doesn't include mean that we're having new genetic information. It seems. Simply means you're copying the same genetic.
Yep, and then it mutates, therefore it changes. So we're not talking about that because you admitted that that does happen. We're done with that.
So you're ascribing mutations as being new genetic information when they
of course it is.
No, it's always degenerative mutations that's happening.
It literally is not always degenerative. Would you like an example?
Yeah, give me five proper examples of non-degenerative mutations.
Occurring. Why do you need five?
Because there's so few, maybe, what you would class as beneficial non-degenerative mutations that you wouldn't be able to give me five. That's why.
Interesting. All right. Natural selection, for example.
Okay. Professor Peterson himself. I want to write these down and see what he's got for me.
Spontaneous mutations in diploid Saccharomyces cerevisiae. I don't know. It's a type of yeast.
In the yeast?
Yep.
Okay, you're going to have to come with better than that, Peterson.
No, I literally don't. All I need to do is provide you examples where this happens. So what they do is they do these forced inbreeding experiments with the yeast, and then what they do is they make a graph of fitness, and they find that when you do the forced inbreeding, the distribution flattens. What natural selection favors is what's called stabilizing selection. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
Yes, I'm a professor of evolutionary biology.
What is stabilizing selection?
No, I'm not here to answer your questions, Peterson. We're here to debate evolution.
I'm not going to talk to you until you answer the question. So that's fucking cute. I don't care. I've already got a million lols out of you. So I don't need anything else. So you're going to answer the fucking question or I'm not going to talk to you. What is stabilizing selection?
The word itself tells you what it is.
Enjoy your sad, pathetic, miserable fucking life of being a lying piece of shit. You absolutely, you have as much fun as you possibly can with that. You absolute degenerate, narcissistic asshole.
Thank you.